picture you could never recreate. Write a song, make a note, read a book inside your throat. It's called throat cancer. Sorry.
Beautiful singing voice.
I sing like a lark, folks. Welcome to Sarcastic News Live. If you don't know, folks, my name is Opie, and I'm glad to be here tonight. We got a good show for you. Kareem the Dream.
I'm here.
Are you texting?
Present.
Are you texting?
Researching.
I need you in it. We got a 12-pack of Coors Light. We got a special guest in studio. I want you guys calling in the Jack in the Box Hot Mess phone line, 800-893-9562. This show is going to be... Mindy is dressed like the Salt Girl.
Morton Salt Girl.
That's right. You're like a Morton Salt Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Are you eating gummy bears back there?
I am. I wish they were soaked in vodka.
I was going to ask.
Oh, man.
I feel like they're infused. All right. Well, welcome to Sarcastic News Live. My name is Justin Cross, and I am glad to be with you guys tonight. And we're coming at you live from the Skid Row Studios right here in the heart of LA's emergency room stabbing district. Tonight we have a great show for you. Special guest, he's one of my favorite comedians. He's going to be calling in later. Jared Harris. Jared Harris will be on the show. That's right. Very mild. It's like somebody just got a bogey putt right there.
Mm-hmm. Someone tapped in for bogey right there.
And with me, as always, the Sarcastic News Crack Squad, which includes, to my left, Kareem the Dream Maddox.
Present.
That's right. They call him, he's present. They call him the Dream because when people talk to him, they always think of what could have been.
Wow.
Yeah. And right across from me, just the best eyebrows in the business, Jake the Snake Cranny.
I want to ask. Pumped to be here, as always. Yes.
And hold on, Snake. This is going to be what show? What is this going to be our top?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I might actually go out on a limb tonight. I think it's going to be one of the top 39 shows.
Top 39.
Yeah.
Scott, we've had 24 shows. So
wow, he's amazing. He's at that bar low.
Leaving a little room, yep. As if it's coffee. And that is diagonally from me. He is he's a CEO of Luxury and Travel Group. He is an angel investor. He is a real estate agent. He is an oil tycoon, a dentist. Scott Morrow in the house, everybody.
You forgot to mention I'm sponsored by Jockey. So all of my messages today will be sent to you from Jockey.
And he's wearing Jockey underwear in the house. So if you don't know, he's wearing a shirt, a plaid shirt, and then just underwear.
It's very awkward here in studio.
You forgot to mention the ascot, but...
Well, guys, we have a great show for you. I was going to talk about foreign spies, but we had a little bit of a technical glitch, very similar to our healthcare website, and so we may not talk as much about that. But if you don't know, spying, foreign spies—that is spying that our country is doing to foreigners, right there. As you may know, over the past week, the Obama administration has been getting called out by many of our foreign allies. This includes the German Chancellor, the President of Croatia, and Hungary's Secretary of Food. You guys see what I did there? Good. And most recently, making headlines on CNN.com, though, former U.S. spy chief James, I promise I don't have the clapper, declaring that spying is a, quote, fundamental given among intelligence services. Adding, quote, by the way, did you expect that a guy whose title is U.S. spy chief to say something like, oh, no, we don't spy on people. We just trust them blindly. He's the goddamn U.S. spy chief. That's his title. That's his title, folks. But in holiday news, we got this week, All Hallows Eve is tomorrow. Now, the popular holiday that's celebrated throughout much of the Western world originally began as a day to remember the dead. Now, in its current form, it is now a day to celebrate whorish nurse outfits and BDSM-style cop-out costumes.
God bless.
And to echo Scott's point, God bless that. And now, there are some that are not choosing sexually suggestive outfits, but they are towing the line as to what's offensive. According to reliable online sources such as the Huffington Post, this year's most offensive costumes include Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. The depiction of the Asiana airline flight crew that recently died in the July 6th crash. And also, and this is what caused more controversy than all of it, a shirtless Joe Biden. Wow. So a shirtless Joe Biden is topping the charts right there. Now, in entertainment news this week, legendary musician Lou Reed died. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but Reed's unique songwriting and deadpan musical style with the Velvet Underground inspired thousands, and it spawned a new genre of music. Now, in May of this year, Reed underwent a liver transplant in Cleveland. The resounding message and lasting impression that Reed left the world is, quote, "Do not get a liver transplant in Cleveland."
It's good advice.
Good advice, I think. Now, with more on the death of Lou Reed, our own sarcastic news, Jake Cranny, take it away.
That's right, Justin. As you mentioned, legendary rock and roll figure Lou Reed died this week of liver failure. And also, the Jonas Brothers' career died of talent failure. That's correct. Lou Reed, founder of the Velvet Underground, was an incredibly influential musician who continues to impact bands and musicians to this day. The Jonas Brothers were a successful group of three brothers creating something that loosely resembles music and continues to impact teenage girls to this day. Lou Reed's legacy will live on through the years, as will the Jonas Brothers posters, action figures, and life-size blow-up dolls. When asked for comment, Joe Jonas was very frank. He said, "Yep, it's over. Now, instead of making bad music and banging chicks, we can just bang chicks."
Well, hey, that doesn't sound like a bad life. I mean, that's how you got here, Jake. Banging me. Now, in sports this week, tonight is Game 6 of the World Series, and with a victory, the Red Sox will have won their first World Series at home since 1918 when they defeated the Chicago Cubs at Fenway Park. After pouring through tons of documents and articles, the Sarcastic News Crack Squad discovered that Red Sox fans were just as obnoxious and annoying then as they are now. And it was reported the average ticket price to tonight's game, this is true, $2,200. $2,200. Now, wow. Which, if you don't know, is the same cost as a Tony Robbins Diamond Premier Seminar package. Or, this is true, one average butt cheek implant. Two cheeks will run you around 5 G's, guys.
Good
just
God.
In case you were wondering. And also in sporting news, the NBA season tipped off yesterday without giving away too much as to what's going to happen. Let's just say the Heat will win it all in Game 6. But with more information on what to expect this season, our own former collegiate basketball player, all defensive player of the year in the Ivy League for Princeton, Kareem the Dream Maddox.
PU? Yes. So I have the top three notable signs that the NBA has returned.
All right. I'm ready for this.
There's ways to tell if you didn't happen to be watching.
No, I mean, it's hard to top what you've seen so far in this monologue. So just do your best.
Number one is that LeBron James is everywhere, selling me everything from Nike to, what was the other one? We were watching the game last night, don't you?
Video games.
He's in 2K. He's selling Hanes. He's selling feminine products. He's selling
Jockey.
Literally everything. Jockey.
Yes. Tonight's show is brought to you by LeBron James, by the way.
Yeah. Bringing you Sarcastic New Live.
Yeah.
Number two,
yeah.
Greg Oden back in action. Naturally, I hope you got to watch a little bit of the Heat last night. Not 312 games of a possible 394 games in Greg Oden's career he has not played in.
Really?
312. Wow.
You got to feel for
and
that guy.
You do have to feel.
What's
I do feel
wrong with him? Does he not have knees?
Or six knee surgeries. They're just drilling holes into his knees, basically.
It's tough.
Well, he was 45 in college, so
he was a very elderly collegiate player.
Yeah.
So what does that? What does that make that? 80 games that he's played in? 82 games since he was drafted.
Not a math major.
Number three.
All right.
I didn't go to Princeton.
The Clippers, old reliable, managed to flub it up last night. My Lakers.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you saw that you and Jake.
Wait, is that a sign that the NBA is back right there, Kareem?
Yeah, exactly. You know what was going to happen, right? Clippers are going to disappoint, as always. And they disappointed. NBA's back.
Now Farmar's back.
Farmar's
82
back.
Games.
Yes. You're a Laker fan?
I'm a big fan.
82 games.
Okay. Is this are we doing Jay Moore sports right now? I mean, what the fuck?
There he is.
What, you guys pounding his out?
You see that bump? You're jealous. That's a fist bump.
Yeah, no. It's a terrorist fist bump. That's what that was. I know what that is. Guys, we've got a lot coming up. We got I have no fucking idea. All right, that's the name of our game. Wait, I don't have a fucking idea. We kind of lifted it from NPR and changed a couple words around.
QBR, basically?
QBR? What's that? Yeah, exactly.
That's me standing up in front of the company. Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
I have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
But you're confident when you do it.
So exactly.
That's the whole point.
Panache.
Panache. That's the cologne that
I'm
wearing
French.
Tonight. That's I know. Well, we have a large French contingent, and I look forward to them calling in tonight. 800-893-9562. If you guys want to participate in Wait, I Have No Fucking Idea. Also, we have a fun Ring of Fire. We are going to talk about what caught fire this week. Comedian Russell Brand was being interviewed. He's now an editor of a liberal magazine in England, and now it's caught fire. So I want to go and discuss that. I want to open it up here to the group, and also, of course, comedian Jared Harris will be calling in from Atlanta. Very funny guy. Can't wait to have him on. So stay tuned right here on Sarcastic News Live, 800-893-9562. We'll be right back. Back here on Sarcastic News Live, we've got Mindy Jorgensen in the back tonight.
Hi, guys.
MJ.
Working hard back there. Kareem the Dream Maddox to my left, straight across the street from here. Jake the Snake Craney. And our special in-studio guest tonight, he's a model for Jockey underwear.
Jockey.
That's right. He's got to do
Jockey. He's legally required to say Jockey. 12 times.
He's like LeBron. Scott Morrow. Scott Morrow in the house tonight.
Thanks.
And
ladies, hold your applause.
People, hold on. Do we have an applause? Does this thing work? No, it doesn't. There it is.
There we go. All right.
Hold on. This is more the Scott Morrow cheer here.
There we go. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah. I think they just saw Scott Baio walking
the
room.
Not,
was that Scott Baio or Scott Morrow they just saw? I don't know. We got a fun game coming up here. Formerly known as the Snake Game, now we call Wait, I Have No Fucking Idea. And tonight, we are talking Halloween costumes. So tomorrow is All Hallows Eve, and there's a lot to be said for Halloween costumes. They can be slutty. They can be over the top, maybe a little offensive. What do you have for us tonight, Jake the Snake?
Let's do this. Come on now. Work it.
This is on TV, by the way. This is live.
This only interrupted my political career, really.
That political career was long over.
Yeah, it's corkscrewed.
All right. So Halloween, as you mentioned, is tomorrow. So I thought it'd be fun to play a little Halloween trivia game. Very simple. We got three questions. Feel free to play along at home.
All right.
Question number one. In President Bill Clinton's first year in office, he dressed as another president for Halloween. Which president was it? Was it A, Franklin Roosevelt, B, James Madison, or C, Abraham Lincoln? Let's start with our guest.
Let's start with us.
Listen, first of all, FDR was in a wheelchair. I don't think he did that. I'll just go on a limb there. But I'll have to go Abraham Lincoln, which was his favorite president, notably.
Okay.
I'll go with C.
Dream the dream.
Yeah, what was B?
James Madison.
I'm going to go with that one just to mix it up.
I don't think anybody would have known what James Madison. I mean, who has a good depiction of James?
Pistol? He had the pistol, right? Was that Aaron Burr?
That was Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
10 paces in a wild.
That's right. FDR would have been hilarious. I think Morrow's right over there. And anyway, I wonder what held the beard together. I'm going to go with Abe Lincoln.
All right, correct answer.
Yes.
James Madison.
Oh, what
does
James Madison look
like?
James Madison.
What?
Nice.
And Hillary dressed up as Dolly Madison as well. So
what do they look like?
Wow. Dolly Madison.
They look like
is that one old and white?
They look like ding dongs. What is a Dolly Madison? Isn't that like a cupcake?
They look like 18th century like French aristocrat or English aristocrats, Jesus. Basically.
You're thinking of Dolly Parton, like old top heavy, God. You know, like the Fraction.
Kareem, nice.
Right, Kareem the Dream, up 1-0.
We just did that to spite
Wait,
you, by the way.
What are we playing for? We got to play for something.
Yeah.
By
no,
the
that's
way,
a good
what
point.
Are we playing for tonight?
Good point.
We're going to deliver Halloween candy to the following
well,
recipients.
First of all, Scott can only, he's got to do it from a 10-foot radius of a school, so.
Yeah, it was dark. I didn't know.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got the nice, you know, sports car, and then he's got the white windowless unmarked van. So, I'm gonna play for the as I usually do, the boys and girls club. But this time, last week I went Tijuana. This time, I'm going with Sioux City.
It's a good group.
Sioux City, South Dakota, right there.
Good kids.
It's in South Dakota, right?
Sioux City. Sioux City is in Iowa, Justin.
Sioux City, Iowa.
It's good.
Yeah, Kareem.
I think I'm going to play for the Skid Row Trick or Treat Foundation.
Ooh. Wow, look at that.
Very ballsy, playing for a fictitious organization.
All right. All of your candy will be dipped in... Like, all of your candy will actually just be ecstasy.
Basically. Is that a salt reference?
That's right. And Scott Morrow, you are going to be playing for...
I'm going to play for something a little more political. Where is Mikhail Gorbachev? Think about it. When's the last time you saw that cat?
That's
I mean,
true.
He had his glasnost, he had perestroika, and now all of a sudden, where is he? What's right. he doing? I want to know, where is he?
All right. So
okay, very
so
interesting tonight, all right.
It's, you understand that it's not going to be a very large fund to find this man, right?
Like no, and I don't think Putin's going to like it. But.
Maybe two loose cores lies. All right,
question number two. What were the first jack-o'-lanterns made from? They were not made from pumpkins. Wow. Was it A, beets, B, turnips, or C, watermelons?
I'm going to go... No, actually, we got to start with Kareem. You won last time.
Kareem, lead us off.
Okay.
It's like golf. you have the honors.
Wow. What lights up? Is it watermelon? Let's go watermelon.
Do you turn?
So I heard turnips, or what was the other?
Beets.
I'm going to go with a big beet.
Okay. Nothing across.
I'm going to take out my thing and go with a big old beet. I'm going to go turnips, though. I wanted turnips the whole time, so this worked out nicely for me.
Correct answer, turnips.
Oh,
just across.
Man.
Pulls
Suck
into
it.
A tie. Now, Scott, don't
play
get discouraged.
Music,
no. No, don't get discouraged right now because the last question here, there is a possibility of you pulling into a tie.
Okay.
And please. Actually, I'm just going to go out and say it. If you get this correct, you're going to win. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Question number three. The following people were all born on Halloween. Which one is the youngest? Now, if you get the answer correct, you get a point. But if you guess the correct age of the youngest person as well, you'll automatically win the game.
69.
Wow. That's a sound effect we have.
All right. Which one is the youngest? Is it A, rapper and actor Vanilla Ice? By the way, both rapper and actor are in air quotes there. B.
Human being in quotes.
B, actor and comedian Rob Schneider. Or C, Alabama football coach and curmudgeon Nick Saban. Which one is the youngest out of those three?
Wait, Vanilla Ice, Nick Saban, and who?
And Rob Schneider.
Ooh, all right. Ooh, wow. All right, let's go. Well, I guess I have the honors, right?
Yeah, you have the honors.
All right. Who's the youngest out of those three people? That's all we're guessing?
Hey, who's the youngest and how old are they?
I got to guess how old they are, too?
Yeah, why not?
I got to go with... I think it's close between Rob Schneider and Vanilla. Nick, not Nick Saban. He's like 70.
70.
I don't know. I'm going to go... I'll go Rob Schneider... I'll say Rob Schneider is 51 years old. No, but Villanelle Ice isn't 51 years old. I gotta go Rob Schneider, 46 years old.
Curry in the Dream.
Rob Schneider, 39.
39? I want you telling me how old I am when
I'm...
Scott
Morrow. Guys, this is an easy one. Rob Schneider, 43.
All right, well... Unfortunately, nobody got that answer correct. Oh.
Wait, why?
The youngest
Ice?
Youngest person in those three is Vanilla Ice, and he is 45 years old.
Wow. How old is Schneider?
Schneider's 49. Nick Saban is 61.
See, here's what happened there. Here's what happened
Botox
there.
At work.
I thought Vanilla Ice was the obvious guess, so, mm-hmm. and I didn't think you would be that mm-hmm. cheap, oh, yeah, but clearly you're that cheap.
Absolutely. Wow.
Yeah.
So basically what happened was Justin and Kareem tied. So we're going to split up whatever we were going to give to those groups, and we're going to give them to both.
A couple of loose Coors Lights go out to the Sioux City, Kansas yep. Charity of my choice. And then also, Kareem, who are you playing for?
Kitty Cat Fund.
Right. Skid Row Trick or Treat.
Perfect. Now, in honor of Vanilla Mikhail. Ice, because I feel like Vanilla Ice does not get brought up nearly enough on this show.
Not enough at all.
I'd like to award the following present to both of you for winning the game, because this clip is just amazing. So please enjoy the following audio from the trailer of Vanilla Ice's 1991 movie, Cool as Ice.
...is about to become... Cool as ice.
Drop it. It's on a motorcycle, right?
He's cruising down A1A
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, he is. I bought that. How's that?
Drop that zero and get with the hero.
See that, Nick? It's Nick.
I think he just unzipped his pants when he said that. Speaking of the mic.
I'd like to do something really well just because I never have.
You ain't true to yourself, and you ain't true to nobody.
Your love can take me higher.
I want you to stay away from him.
He's not what you think he is.
My brother's been kidnapped.
What we want, Jim, is a little collection on an old IOU. You're the eye, and we're the you.
You're all wrong. You didn't do anything.
Come on, get on.
How can you know that, Catherine?
I trust him, Dad.
Vanilla Ice is going to take an uncool world.
Oh, my God, that guy. I know the guy does the voiceovers. He's my buddy. It's so funny, yeah.
Well, I hope you like being a biker chick, because you're not going to see me or my car again. Imagine that.
I don't sweat it on the mic, because I'm cool as ice.
From Universal Pictures.
How are we doing this one? We're just going to play this the rest of the show?
That was it. I couldn't cut anything from that clip. It was all amazing. Well, there was a kidnapping of some sort.
If you're going
to... I'm so glad I saw it without the visual aspect of it.
Well, yeah, if so you didn't have the visual in the rat cage right here in Skid Row Studios, beer just came out of my nose.
Yeah.
When I heard the voiceover guy, who apparently Scott like hangs out with... He's like buddy with him. Yeah. When I heard him go in Vanilla Ice, it's like I lost my shit right there.
What's that movie called?
Cool as Ice.
Be the hero. I don't know.
I wonder, is that on Netflix? Where can people get that?
Is there a Twitter handle? I don't know, to be honest.
Your bookshelf.
Yeah.
I think you can get that on Amazon for like 99 cents.
I hope so.
Wow. We've got the Russell Brand interview coming up here on Ring of Fire in just a few minutes. Mindy, you got that? We're going to go to break, but you got that queued up? Okay, we're going to go to break here. And we've got Jared Harris coming up, comedian Jared Harris coming up in about 10 minutes from now, 10 to 15 minutes from now. So call in if you want. Weigh in on Ring of Fire. We're talking about the Russell Brand interview. If you guys saw that, 800-893-9562. We'll be right back on Sarcastic News Live.
Hello.
how some cities get this. You won't get this joke at all. Ever since you came up to me, ever since the door was open,
like I've known forever, from a state in another life, we decided that we must have been lovers back then too.
We're back on Sarcastic News Live. That, wow. Who was that? I like that band.
That was a band called First Rate People. Very, very good band. About to come out with their debut album.
A little effeminate, but so am I. So
absolutely.
I mean, that does. And you said that there's a girl and a guy in that band, right?
Yeah.
Who makes the sound? Who goes, eh?
That would be the girl.
Well, I mean, a guy could do that too.
He's not used to hearing
that. I just did that. I'm just kidding.
I'll play more.
Kurt came in. I got a shot from the back there. That was good.
More Nickelback next time.
Yeah, play more Nickelback. You know how I like it. All right, hold on. Wait, I got to do this. It's not doing it. I wanted the sexy crouch here. Whatever. All right, so you're listening to Sarcastic News Live. My name is Justin Cross. I'm here with Jake the Snake Cranny, Kareem the Dream Maddox, and our special guest, Scott Morrow.
Jockey
ad, which, by the way, I got to do a quick shout out to all of our loyal listeners. We got Josh in Austin, Allison in Austin, Jim in Santa Fe Springs, also Kara up in North Beach in San Francisco.
Eugene in Sarajevo.
Eugene where?
In Sarajevo.
Sarajevo, that's right. We have a solid Sarajevo fall.
Huge.
I just want to read, super disappointing. This came in through the tweets. Super disappointing the camera didn't pan to Scott on that jockey sponsorship revelation.
I mean, come on. I'm already underplayed as it is.
Well,
I'm in the corner over here. You don't give me enough airtime.
I'm sorry. Here we go. Here's that.
Hold on.
There it is.
All right, we're going to keep it on Scott the whole time. So he's going to have to, you got to interact. You got to make love to the camera there. Now we have you got kind of snapping at her like I don't know her. Mindy, you got Ring of Fire music ready?
What is she doing?
What are you doing? There we go. Oh.
Playing with my puppet.
That is. Now we're talking.
Hold up. Now, if you've never listened to the show, we keep the song going the whole time. Ring of Fire is actually the song. That's it.
You see how many beers we can drink as
there's
the
song. There's no debate, there's no conversation.
Bound.
I like doing this, and then it ends right there. All right, so we're going to talk about the Russell Brand interview. We got to keep it tight. We got Jared calling in here in just a little while. But Jake, do you have? We got a couple of clips we're going to queue up, and Jake, if you could take it away with the first clip here. The Russell Brand interview, if you didn't catch it.
Rating and haranguing politicians, and then when someone like me, a comedian, goes, yeah, they're all worthless, what's the point in engaging with any of them? You sort of have a go at me because I'm not poor anymore.
Well, no, I'm not having a go at you about that. I'm just asking you, why we should take you seriously when you're so unspecific?
You don't have to take... Firstly, I don't mind if you take me seriously. I'm here just to draw attention to a few ideas. I just want to have a little bit of a laugh. I'm saying there are people with alternative ideas that are far better qualified than I am, and far better qualified, more importantly, than the people that are currently doing that job. Because they're not attempting to solve these problems. They're not. They're attempting to placate the population. The measures that are currently being taken around climate change are indifferent, will not solve the problem.
It's possible as human beings they're simply overwhelmed by the scale of the problem.
Not really. Well, possibly it might be that. I mean, but that's sort of just semantics, really. Whether they're overwhelmed by it or tacitly maintaining it because of habitual, like, I mean, like, mate, this is what I noticed when I was in the Houses of Parliament. It's decorated exactly the same as Eton. It's decorated exactly the same as Oxford. So a certain type of people goes in there and thinks, oh, this makes me nervous. And another type of people go in there and go, this is how it should be. And I think that's got to change now.
Now,
oh boy,
I want to start with this. First of all, I think we can all admit, as Americans, British people sound incredibly eloquent. I mean, even when, like, you can disagree with what they're saying, but they sound like they could be having those two guys, Russell Brand and Jeremy Paxson, who's interviewing him. You didn't hear Jeremy there, but like those guys could be having sex, and you'd be like, "That is the most eloquent sound of balls on ass I have ever heard in my life."
You know, when he said, "I'm cross with you." I'm like, who uses the word cross?
Having a randy time.
I mean, absolutely.
I felt like, I was like, wait, are they, if I had no idea what they're saying, I'm like, that is some fantastic Shakespeare right
they
there.
They used three words I didn't understand. I had to look it up. Really, honestly.
Tacit. All right, tacit complicity.
Cream went to Princeton. He didn't. He gets it all.
He knows what it is. Now, my first question, you guys, is this, okay? Now, in general, what did you take away of value from the interview? Now, clearly we're not playing the whole interview there, but if you saw it, and if you're just catching that bit, what did you take away of value? I want to start with Scott.
You know, honestly, my takeaway is, being a celebrity, you have a platform to say anything you want. And the thing that, you know, look, it's catchy, and I actually do like Russell Brand. I think he's quite bright, and I enjoyed his interviews, and I think he's actually very thoughtful. But I could go into a room, pull a pin out of a grenade, let it go off, and have it be a lot of commotion. That doesn't take talent. It doesn't take insight, and it certainly doesn't take any skill. You know, frankly, he talked about, you know, the establishment's not open to alternative ideas, and they're not attempting to solve these problems. Well, neither is he. All he's doing is going in and saying, hey, this doesn't work, and I hate it, and it's causing all these problems. And he's talking about big macro problems like climate change, disenfranchised, socioeconomic, underprivileged class. No shit, that's been around forever. Name a better alternative, you know. And yeah, I just didn't find it that helpful. And that's my beef with some of this discourse that goes on around this topic, is people just don't have true alternatives. They just want to come and pull the hand grenade.
That's absolutely correct.
All right.
But at the same time, though, that's he said that in the clip that we listened to. Like, you're totally right. But then he said, I don't have an alternative. I want to draw attention to this. And If you or I go and make it, or have an interview and do this and put it online, 10 people see it. If Russell Brand does it, at least he can draw a significant amount of attention to it.
Kareem, did you find value in just the simple fact, you know, given that he's a celebrity, that he raises these questions? That one of the things he does point out, and it wasn't in the clip, was the Occupy movement, right? And the fact that, if for no other reason, it pointed out that there is a 1%, that there is literally 300 people that make just as much money as a huge, you know, he pointed that out. Now, I'm not saying that hasn't been around, all of that, but do you feel like there has value there in having the platform and then pointing that out?
Yeah, I think because he has the platform.
By the way, anything is always being taken seriously after you hear a Coors Light can just snap up. Right.
Speaking of.
Nice, just guys. Get it out of the way, guys.
Yeah. I think because the platform that he has might allow people now, you know, the average American citizen, to kind of connect some of these like various and disparate movements that are going around, you know, going on around the world, where people are just genuinely upset about the status quo, right? So you have, you know, whatever's going on in Greek with this, you know, Golden Dawn party. You have whatever's going on in the U.S. and you have, you know, obviously the Arab Spring, and it's just kind of, you know, Russell Brand, I think, by saying that, might allow people to kind of be able to connect these dots and think, you know, maybe there is something wrong, and, you know, there is a stand to take.
Right. Here's what I just want to bring this up, because my takeaway on this is this, that there's especially the generation that I'm in, right? There is certainly a, I think he mentions, and we'll point this out here in the voting segment, but there's a point where you know, he talks about not voting, not out of apathy, but out of just simple, you know,
indifference, really.
Right. And so there's that element there, right? There is that element. So I do think that there is still a place to raise questions, to bring these things up, to have that platform. Scott, give you the last word on this one before we play the next clip, but do you feel like Do you feel like this had any value at all to it? Or I mean, was just some celebrity kind of just talking?
Look, the value to me was that I think he does have depth. I think he actually does feel passionately about these topics. I did find it slightly ironic that he talks about that he comes from this poor, disenfranchised class, and that he's, you know, so, you know, kind of underwhelmed by all the opportunities he's been given, yet the fact that he's a multimillionaire and he's this very system that he indicts was the mechanism for him getting to where he is. So at some level, it has worked for him, and I can't help but question his motives when the fact is it's actually been beneficial to him.
Mm-hmm. Good point. However, I would say that it wasn't necessarily, that interview doesn't seem like it was about him as much as it was about,
to be fair, he kept reference that he could talk intelligently because he came from that place.
Right. Well, because so, he knows that anyway, background.
I'll give you your floor.
The Russell brands are kind of few and far between. And the same kind of idea can be applied to when you think of underprivileged.
Yep.
Urban environment in the United States, sometimes the way, you know, the avenue to get out of those places is through sports, through, you know, acting.
For sure.
And, you know, singing, etc., and performance arts. And it's kind of, you know, his avenue out was that route, but he's, you know, the minority.
May I do one thing? Because I actually did pull one stat.
A girl got fisted over there. You can do whatever the hell you want.
The only thing I did worthwhile today, frankly, was pull one stat. And it was actually revealing to me. I wanted to know, relative to the world, what is the U.S. in terms of GDP per capita, gross domestic product per capita? And I was actually fearful that we'd be really far down the list. The reality is we're number 9. And if you look at the countries that are ahead of us, Luxembourg has an average GDP per capita of $91,000. Macau, Qatar, Norway, Singapore, Switzerland, Brunei, Hong Kong, then the U.S. If you look at the countries ahead of us, they're small, homogenous, isolated countries that, you know, we don't have that opportunity because we're such a melting pot. The fact is we've got bring us your rich, you're tired, you're poor. And when you have that, you know, it's difficult to create equality for all. And that's not what this country was really born
on. I think that's a fair point. Now, I also want to compliment you because nobody has ever done research for anything on this show. So
I was embarrassed. I was going to be embarrassed.
I was. Now, before we, because we can go down that, before we play the next clip too, I want to bring in, actually, might as well just, let's do it live, baby. Our comedian, our interview for tonight, Jared Harris on the line. Jared, how are you?
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Guys and gals.
I can't see. mostly dudes. It's a real cock fest here.
What's up, dudes?
Now, I don't know. I know that you, Jared, I know that you are, I've seen your comedy. I love watching you do comedy. I also know that you have a political side to you as well, and you certainly have your opinions and stuff. So if you don't mind, I know we talked about maybe like we'd talk a little Halloween and you know, slutty costumes, but right now we're actually talking about the Russell Brand clip from the other day, which I don't know. Did you catch that by chance?
I was going to say which one, but I assume it's the one that everyone's talking about.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, the interview, I forgot the guy's name, but another Brit that was interviewing him?
Paxman. Paxman. It was,
Okay, yeah. I did see that, actually.
Let me ask you this. I'll pose the same question I did to the group here, which in general, and we call this our Ring of Fire, by the way, where we just we just steal the Johnny Cash clip right there. But in general, what did you take away from that interview? I mean, as a comedian, I mean, did you, first of all, he's a comedian first, but what did you take away of value, if anything, from that?
I'm usually just mesmerized by his beautiful hair, but, you know, trying to like pull away from that to listen to what he was saying. I don't know, you know, I mean, I've had this idea that, I don't know where it started or why it started. I guess just a multitude of things that happened to me at maybe at a younger age, but I've always kind of had like a great distrust for authority and kind of lack of respect for authority, as a kid. So,
now, as a comedian, I find that shocking, but...
But I never thought, like, I just never, like, growing up, I remember my grandmother was, like, on to me about trying to, you know, like, she's like, oh, you need to go vote, and I just, even at a younger age, I just kind of felt like, I was like, really? That's real?
Yeah.
Like, I never felt like it mattered, because I just kind of look at capitalism as a whole. I mean, you know, just looking at the politics that go on just in a subdivision, you know, homeowners association, you know, like, or just local hot dog stands. I mean, you know, as much as these companies are at each other's throats, and I just kind of looked at it from a younger age and said, okay, well, on a much larger scale, I mean, these people, you know, the president doesn't really run anything. I just always had that idea that it was just all kind of a bunch of crap, you know?
Well, that's why I moved to California, because I was like, fuck, I need a veggie dog, you know? I need another option here. No, but let me ask you this, though, and I'm gonna ask you this, and then I want to bring it up to the group here, but he talks in there, and we've got the clip, but I'd rather, let's just not play it at this point. I mean, we'll basically summarize it. Basically, he says that he does not vote, right, and he's never voted, because he feels like that is tacit complicity, is how he calls it there. You know, sure. That he's being basically compliant with the system, and he's supporting it. Not a completely unique thought. Thoreau brought it up in Walden, like, years and years ago. However, do you feel that way? I mean, like you said, you have kind of this distrust of authority. So do you feel like you can work within the system to try to, you know, in, let's say, a democratic system, let's assume we're in a democratic system, right? Do you feel like that you can work within that system to fix it?
Well, I think, like, the only way that we can really fix anything right now is we can vote with our dollar. Mm. I mean, that's kind of like, that's where I see the most power, is being able to vote with your dollar, more so than just actually going to, you know, actually vote for a president. It just seems to me like there's more power, there's more weight in voting by how you spend your money.
I think he just voted for Jenna Jameson, by the way.
Vote for what?
Jenna Jameson.
Oh. I haven't heard that name in so long.
Well, let me ask you guys this. I mean, Scott, what do you feel like, as far as, do you feel like voting has its place? Or do you think there are other ways?
I'm being a bit hyperbolic here, but the bottom line is, I think too many people vote. Truly, too many people vote. Let's face it, most people are idiots. Most people are uninformed. They don't know the issues. And it's like, if, you know, I run a company, and if I were on major issues to say, okay, let's see a show of hands, who deserves a raise here? It would win every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not necessarily the best decision, right? It's democratic.
Right.
And frankly, you know, I think there are good examples around the world of where you don't have democracies, and the efficiency of not being a democracy actually is beneficial to economic growth and sometimes social services. Mm-hmm. So, you know, frankly, I think if there's a flaw in democracy, and I'm a big fan of the U.S., I'm a big patriot and all that, is that, you know, we almost expect everyone to vote. And I think that's actually flawed at some level. Mm-hmm.
Do you also feel like, I mean, I think Jared brought the point of you vote with money, right? And Jake and Kareem, you guys jump in on this. I want to know, you know, so, I mean, when you have a gun control bill that's out there, where 90% of the country feels like, yeah, you know what, people who are mentally handicapped shouldn't have the right, you know, shouldn't be able to go order a gun over the internet. Yep. 90% of the country feels that way. However, it doesn't get passed. Where is the flaw in democracy there? Because there is one. You can't deny that when you have that overwhelming majority of people who support that.
But here's the thing. It's because there's a few people at the top of the pyramid there with a lot of money and a lot of power and a lot of greed who want to see things go their way.
Listen, we live in a blue state. I live here for a reason. I'm very socially liberal. Very socially liberal. I can't understand the argument against gun control. I just can't wrap my arms around it. But I'm from Tennessee, and every time I go home and I have conversations with my boys, people that I love, people that I respect, people that really are good people, they truly are red state people, and they do not think that way. It's not true that most Americans are against it. There are a huge, huge number of people. We just don't interact with them. We are isolated from that group.
See, here's the funny thing, I think, about you saying that is that you kind of pitched a little bit of this an aristocratic class that would kind of make decisions for the good of the 300 million.
Yeah.
Right, of the republic, right? But the people you're talking about that don't necessarily have a voice, as you kind of say, because you don't hear from them, even though they are in favor. So you think the 90% for gun control may be a little skewed.
Yep.
Those are the same people that I think in this you know, kind of republic that you set up would not have a voice.
And that would be good.
Okay.
Exactly.
Let me jump in here. Let me ask. I want to ask Jared this, because Jared actually is from Atlanta, and am I right, or somewhere around Atlanta? Is that right, Jared?
Yeah, I mean, I've lived all over, but I'm from. Yeah, I spend most of my time here, like as a kid. So.
And I don't, you know, I really don't know your politics or anything like that. But when it comes to being from the South, and you know, I know you also. Spend a lot of time out here doing comedy as well. Do you see that sort of disparity, as Scott mentions? I mean, obviously we know the red state, blue state stuff, but is it? Would you agree with Scott? You know, where it's kind of that, you know, it's that kind of black and white, if you will.
Yeah, you know, like I seem to. The older I get, or I don't know. I guess as more time passes, it's funny because like when I. Being from here, I grew up kind of like a half black, half white neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And the threat that I saw was mostly just drugs and then guns, you know, come into play after that. Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up around a lot of rednecks too, so. You know, I kind of was turned off by I was like raised Southern Baptist, so I was always kind of like turned off by all of that because I just was so turned off that I fantasized about, oh, I'm going to go to, you know, Los Angeles, or I'm going to go to California where it's like much more laid back and cool. And there are definitely like a lot of things I love about California. But it's funny because like, the older I get, and it's like some of the ideas that I had when I was younger, they just don't stay with me now. And right. I feel like I'm pretty diverse with my relationships. I have a lot of friends that are liberals, and I have a lot of friends that are conservative, and most of my friends I would probably say are teetering on the libertarian side, but...
I feel like he's polishing his gun right now.
What's that?
I feel like you're polishing your gun right now in the dark.
Yeah. And something else I wanted to tell you boys is this.
I knew it.
What if I just turned totally red all of a sudden? You're like, whoa!
I didn't see that. What if you had two like split comedy personalities? Yeah. One where you're like doing, like you come out to California doing like abortion jokes, and then you go back to like Georgia and you're like, yeah, you know what? I hate gays.
Where are you going to stand for this? No, but you know the thing that's so crazy about it is like, you know, I see the mainstream media is so much trying to play this right left paradigm, and it's like there's so many people out there that aren't right, and they're not right, and they're not left, they're kind of in the middle. And you know, I know a lot of people that own guns and are very not necessarily into guns, like they're gonna go to the grocery store and buy some gun magazine and, you know, like have a bunch of camo and all this other shit, but they're just really protective of their right to bear arms because they, like for me, for instance, like I had a really big distrust for cops because I grew up around areas where you just see cops do really shady things. Mm-hmm. And then as you're growing up, you're like, oh, we're told that these are the people that we're supposed to, like, have respect. Like, they're supposed to respect us. Like, my whole thinking is, like, we pay them. They should respect us and help us.
Right, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think the big issue was a lot of what mainstream media would label racist, homophobic rednecks, who it's not fair to even say that because most of the people I know that own guns aren't racist, or I mean, I know people that went to Art Institute of Atlanta that do graphic design here in Atlanta who you would look at and you would think that person would never have a gun.
Right.
But they have guns, and it's not because they're just gun enthusiasts, it's just because it's a really, really important right that they, I guess they know history well enough to know that that's really, really dangerous line to cross whenever you start talking about taking guns away from people, or you know, instilling martial law, or just all the crazy stuff that kind of circulated out there on the web.
I feel like that's a great point, and I want to kind of wrap up our Ring of Fire, and then real quick, I want to just tell people. I know you've got a new tour coming up too, Jared, and but I think that's kind of where I this is why I wanted to bring this up, because I think it A, the interview raises some good questions, and B, we have to at some point agree on some truths, right? There are truths out there, right? Like climate change is happening, and I think. If anything, what I took from this was that in what I, because it's my show, so whatever I say is right. The thing is that we have to at some point be able to sit there and address those things. They're going to happen. Climate change is happening. Like in 30 years, 40 years from now, two weeks ago, we talked about the coldest day in the winter is going to be hotter than our hottest days. That's not happening. Like, that's actually happening.
It's hot as hell in the rat cage right now. I'll tell you that much.
It's 90 degrees. In primordial Johnny. Life is growing beneath my pants right now.
It was 80 today in Metro Atlanta. So never. I mean, that's crazy for this close to Halloween.
The MARTA must have been
stank.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're just Febrezing the shit out of everybody, huh? Jared, real quick before we head out here, again, I'm a huge fan. I actually, you probably don't remember this, but the reason I knew about Jared in the first place was because there was this tiny little place near Buckhead. It was like a cafe. It wasn't the Buckhead Diner, but it was some other like diner. And I remember I used to MC there for like 2 or 3 months straight right after I got out of college. And you headlined. And you would kill it. And I would just literally, I was like the fluffer for you. Like, I would get him to smile. I was pretty good at that. Maybe like a chuckle here and there. But then you would go and just kill it. Probably like, every like, few weeks that you were up there. But I don't remember the place of that. But I remember the name.
Oh, that's probably the Landmark Diner. Probably.
Landmark Diner.
Know that.
Piedmont, you familiar?
Yeah, Piedmont and Peachtree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jed Furon. Yeah. That's the guy's name. Yeah.
Justin's actually got a picture of you over his bed.
Hey, soldier.
Jared.
Hey, cowboy.
The cheetah. I know Jared knows the cheetah.
I do. So Jared, where can people catch you online, on Facebook, on Twitter, and then also I know you've got the new comedy tour coming up.
Yeah, just jaredharris.com, jaroDharris.com, and then I don't really have a new tour coming out first. I have a new web series coming out, but I guess the tour is just kind of an ongoing thing, just because I need to pay my bills.
I saw the tour dates come up today. They're up on your feed. Like,
yeah, anytime I add a new city or something, I always just kind of post the tour dates. So that's happening. And I just want to also plug our documentary film that. Where it's in post-production right now, but Ryan Singer, who's a good buddy of mine, he's also a really, really great comic. But Ryan Singer and I shot a documentary last winter called Organic, a comedy tour documentary. Essentially, we went across the country and we just pretty much were trying to, which I think we did a really good job, because it's an ongoing series. It's not going to be just like one release. It's going to be an ongoing actual series, but we documented comedy scenes, underground comedy scenes all across the country, and tried to basically do an expose of what's happening in the world of stand-up comedy right now.
I'm gonna pull a CNN right now. The world of stand-up comedy, the underground, is it good or is it bad?
Oh, there's an article about that?
No. That's what they'll pose the question a lot of times. Is it good or is it bad? But do you feel like it's on the up and up now?
I think right now is an exciting time in stand-up comedy. I think it's it almost kind of seems like a gold rush in a sense, with because of the internet, you don't have to follow the same rules. You don't have to. There's different ways now to become successful than there used to be. And I feel like, the entertainment industry, although they would love to get their bills passed and monopolize the internet once again, or, not again, but like they have, the entertainment industry in the past. But as of right now, I think it's a awesome time to be a comic or to be an artist in general. It doesn't really necessarily matter if you're doing comedy, but there's so many ways to get out there to the public. And the web series that I used to do has 30 something million. I'd have to go check. We have like 30 something million views on it. And even though I've been on Comedy Central, I've been on TBS and done some other crappy like things that aired once and then never saw again, but I get way more people coming from web series stuff. So that's been the biggest impact in my comedy career thus far is the web series stuff.
Awesome. Well, Jared, we have to go. We're up against the clock here, but thank you so much for calling in, and we're going to have you back soon, talk a little more comedy,
I'm going on this comedy rant.
No, we appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. You guys are great.
Thank you for joining us. JaredHarris.com, the Organic Comedy Tour coming up. Guys, thanks so much for listening tonight to Sarcastic News Live. For Kareem Maddox, Jake the Snake Cranny, and our special guest in studio, he'll be back soon, Scott Jockey. Morrow, spokesman for Jockey. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week, Wednesday, 8 to 9, on Sarcastic News Live. Thank you.
See, I've been here for 28 years, patterns spread beneath these wheels, tattooed lines.